up and welcome to AfterBuzz Anime Reviews. We're talking When They Cry, episodes 14, 15. So, somebody dies, but not exactly who you expected. And is Rika two-faced or possessed or something else? All that and more. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up? Welcome to AfterBuzz Anime Reviews. We're talking When They Cry, episodes 14, 15, as well as give you a recap on Anime Expo, because that was last weekend. let's get in. We're going to talk about that, as well as our word and stuff anime, because it's just overload of
there's a lot
decompressed
of stuff
from Anime
on, yeah.
Expo too. Anyways, my name is Carrie Lane. I'm joined by my co-host.
Hey everyone, Veronica Valencia.
Hey guys, it's Ollie Dredden. And sorry, Jamie's not here, but she's not here, but she will be back.
She will be back. Don't worry. What did we think of these episodes? So if people don't know, these two on that end of the table have seen the show, but quite some time ago. Please no spoilers if you have seen it. I've never seen it. And it's fun to have a kind of interesting mix of people who have and haven't seen it. So what do you think of these two?
For sure. I mean, the first time I saw this, and even going back and rewatching it, I find it kind of ironic that this particular arc, I think, it's called time-wasting arc.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of how I felt, to be perfectly honest. Because it's such a pull from the storyline we have been following in all of the other arcs, which was, you know, the curse. At first, it seems cool, like, oh, we're going to jump back and maybe see kind of how it developed with the dam and the dam project and everything. But not really. Yeah. It doesn't really go into that. It mainly stays with the detective guy. And so It's a good thing that this arc is only two episodes, because it did feel very, you know, far away from the main storyline. So if it had gone on any further, I could see people definitely drifting off.
Yeah, I think this episode was a little bit of a snoozer. It was nice to, or these episodes, it was nice to kind of have a more of a world building with Hina Mizawa.
A little bit.
And also we kind of saw outside of Hina Mizawa too.
Yeah.
And I think it was the main purpose of this was to really showcase and put Rika in a different light. We're seeing, oh, there's a different side to Rika.
Mm-hmm.
What is up with her? We don't really understand. Mm-hmm. And obviously, there's kind of corruption in Hina Mizawa, too, with some of the families. It's specifically the Shion and Mion's grandma. So she's kind of a bad woman. But, it's interesting.
Yeah, ditto on pretty much all that. I'm glad it's just the two episodes, not really a ton happened, but there were still important kind of nuggets of information. So yeah, we get like for episode 14, Hina Mizawa, it's pretty much pre-dam planning. We meet really briefly Toshiki Inukai, who is the cabinet minister's grandson. Because at first I thought it was his son, and then later like, oh, your grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he gets kidnapped, poor little kid, and luckily nothing really bad happens to him.
Yeah.
Though, that surgery thing, do we think there's more to it? Because later in episode 15, the doctor's like, oh, what's that scar? And he says, oh, I was in a car accident, and like gives him a look. And I go, was there something else going on, or is my reading way too much into it?
I don't think it's necessarily too much of a spoiler to say, Ollie, that that doesn't really come back.
Okay.
No. It's funny, because, you would think, like, why would they show that?
Like, why would that
be
a part?
But looking back, when I was rewatching this, I don't remember that, so I was thinking to myself, what was that? Don't worry about it.
Don't worry too much into it.
Sometimes, that could have been something.
Yeah.
Go, oh.
There's, or maybe, I wonder
or
if
they're
that was,
throwing things at us, making us
red
think there's
red
more.
Herring, yeah.
Oh, well. Let me know. Leave comments down below if you thought some of these crazy things along the way, because I feel this show kind of goes like, maybe. But maybe that's on purpose to mislead you and make you kind of wonder what's going on. So then we also have a new detective. We meet Mamoru Akasaka.
Akasaka? Yeah.
Yes. Who is our detective who I thought he was totally going to die. Come on, leave a comment. Totally probably thought he was going to die.
It would make sense because he came out of nowhere in this arc and it really seemed to follow him. So it would make sense if like he somehow got affected by the curse. And I guess in a sense, not jumping too far ahead, in a sense, I guess he did.
Mm. Kind of,
but you know, he was an odd character just because he really came out of nowhere, no mention. And like I said, it's kind of distracting being pulled so far back and then not even have it be mainly about, you know, maybe Rika, or mainly about, you know, the Sanozaki family, but about this detective.
Yeah. Kind of like, oh, this is an easy character for them to be like, and sacrifice, done. Or he was going to be sacrificed. And like, Rika's like, yeah, come to the temple and check it out. I'm like, oh, he's going to die.
Basic male character like Keiichi. But I think it also showcases kind of like the cycle with Hinamizawa and the curse. Kind of like years later, here comes another character, Keiichi, who is being affected by the curse as well. So it's just kind of like this ongoing thing, this eternal infinity, whatever you want to call it, which also will kind of come back later with Rika in a sense.
Yeah, a little bit. Maybe. So he gets to go check out the local cops. We get Oishi. Oishi was even creepier and more suspect in these episodes.
Really?
Our detective. Our inspector.
He's actually on his good. He was on a good behavior.
Or I don't know. I'm just giving him the side eye. Like,
I think he had like better intentions of actually like trying to solve the crimes and not just kind of brushing them off like he has been.
And they. Keep in mind that this was, like, years prior to... True. Maybe he was in a better mood. I don't know.
Yeah, he seemed a little more chipper.
Also, it's so funny, Veronica, because I watched these two episodes in English.
Oh, yeah.
Did
I finally have access to English episodes.
Yes!
And, oh, my gosh, I apologize. I just don't like Oishi's English voice. Mm. It's so bad. But, yeah, so maybe I should go back to Japanese, but, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I've just been suspicious of him. So these episodes, like, I felt, I'm like, oh, is he in on it? And he's, like, gonna... facilitate something bad happening to
I can see that
Akasaka. So I'm like, but so he does that. We learn kind of our detective gets all the information, the local families and everything. We meet Rika, who's much younger and weirdly pops up in places. I'm all super suspicious.
She's
little kid.
She is a cat. Yeah. She's like meh every time she pops up. Yeah. She's like, meh. So she is a cat.
He's all, what? I'm not being a creep. I felt bad for him as soon as he showed up. He's like, oh, she's cute. Which is like a normal human kind of reaction of like, oh, cute kid.
Yeah.
But then she like stares at him. He's like, oh, great. No, no, I'm not a creeper. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of cute.
He's not Dr. Ire.
Gosh. Yeah, he comes back.
Oh, he's a creeper. Though in these episodes he wasn't, but I was like, though she calls him Tomotake number 2, which was weird. But I don't know if that comes back.
Well,
what she calls people is interesting.
I mean, I think that I kind of took it as an outsider, like Tomotaki.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, that works. And then the local kind of tour guide says it's blessing to see her, which I go, okay, that's kind of weird. I don't say that when I randomly see children. Oh, it's a blessing. I saw this child. So I go, then they mention her home is the shrine. So this is more leading into there's something weird with Rika, which we've kind of known. But
I would definitely say that, you know, at least it did give us a little something in just trying to better develop Rika in a way. So that was cool.
Absolutely. I like that we get a little bit more on her, but it's not definitive, but it definitely points more to than she's just a regular person, for sure. Her home is the shrine, which is also the village headquarters, or like their main meeting spot for the dam protest, which was kind of interesting. And then we meet the village headman, Kichiru Kimiyoshi. Who he's not around all that much. Like, we meet these, this is another one, we get these random people that's like, hi, bye.
Yeah, this is more of like the, oh, here is the actual town of Hinamizawa that you never see in any of the other
Where
arts.
Is everybody? Oh, you know what, though? The way it ends, no wonder nobody's around. Because I was like, nobody's in this town. It seems like a full town, but then nobody ever seems to be there.
Adults are never there.
Yeah, except at the festivals.
This is true. Everybody hangs out at home, maybe, and then they're like, party! Okay, we're all coming out.
It's weird. It's weird because then the baseball games, I'm like, where are all these people coming from all of a sudden? I thought this was a ghost town.
Yes.
Interesting.
So we learned that the dam plan will... Oh, Rika's like, okay, the dam plan is going to go away. And Akasaka's like, okay, how do you know that? Which is interesting. This is when we first start seeing that she's... has premonitions, shall we say, or, you know, there's more to her. And this is when I wrote maybe ? Is she possessed? Because she warns him to leave. The voice changes. But from someone who hasn't seen it, I think it could go. I don't really feel like she's possessed. I just feel she's essentially has not quite two personalities, but just has a personality that she shows people. And then it's like, oh, we're talking serious talk. This is my serious voice.
Yeah. At first, I maybe thought it was possession, but then maybe it's not, you know, she kind of has a dual personality that is just, like, you know, more innocent, childlike Rika, and then more mature Rika. I think because her, isn't the Furude family, like, the guardians of, of what's his name, Oyashiro? So maybe she has, like, an insight into the spirit world, and maybe it's like, I don't know, the spirit of Oyashiro talking through her in a sense. Like, not possession, but, like, just an insight of, like, she knows things.
I think her little girl demeanor isn't really the real Rika anymore, in a sense. I think it is, but also she kind of puts that on as a front for her friends, so they're not questioning, like, why are you, you know, they're not, I'm trying not to spoil it, too. But, yeah.
All of the
No, it makes sense. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, all of the families have a lot more dirty laundry than they on,
And there's a lot more to Rika, for sure, which we'll learn, than she lets on, for sure.
Yeah.
But she does love her friends, and, like...
But it makes sense, too, if you could have, like, we ourselves, and you watching, listening, probably as well, you have, like, that mode of when you're with your friends versus your family versus your job or whatever, and then you're at home. So I feel this is her, like... okay, this is my serious mode, and I need to tell you this. And he probably should have left. Yeah,
exactly. And I think she's trying not to, like I tried to explain, she's trying not to, I guess, make it seem like she's something other than a 10-year-old girl, basically.
Yeah.
You know? So she's trying to, like, give you that information, but also, I'm still a little girl. Like, I'm not...
I don't understand complicated things.
Rebecca was here. She already said it. This isn't... She's, like, she's older than she is.
Yeah. So. Oh, no. There's something there for sure. Just the question is, then I wonder how much detail we get into it once we learn
also,
more
shout out to Rebecca. Like, I loved her, like, mature voice, too, for
Rebecca. That was such a switch that I was like, I mean.
I'm like, wow, is that so Rebecca?
Like, wow, yeah.
That was cool.
And, yeah, if you missed it, we previously had the voice of Rika on as a guest last week, which is. You know, was Anime Expo. But our last episode, check that out. It's really fun to get her insight. So again, thanks out. Shout out to her. It was really cool just to hear more on this peculiarly interesting show.
You can hear Rika just as she's talking. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we have, that there was a spy with the family, which I go, okay. And there's a meeting. And then that's when this is when Akasaka is like, okay, they kind of have known you're coming in a way. Because also, how conveniently suspicious. We know somebody's coming and some random dude out of nowhere shows up on quote-unquote vacation.
Yeah.
I don't feel this is a safe situation for him. And I like when he's on the train. He's like, yeah, normally they'd have someone go as backup, but they figured it'd be fine.
Yeah.
It's like, dude.
So many red flags, but... Yes. He doesn't know.
No, he does not. So they find the wallet and ID card and the missing kid in this ghost town, Takasudo. And I was like, this is a trap. It's totally a trap. But, and then not so much.
Not really a trap.
Not as much, yeah. I was a little bit surprised. Episode 15, Sign. So we get to see our doctor again, who, not as creepy as before, he doesn't want to adopt and marry a child.
The grandson.
Yes. And he's kind of helping the kid and everything, and again, that mysterious scar. So the detective and Oishi go, and they spot Rika while driving, which is also weird. Just like, dude, she's everywhere.
She's always watching.
She is.
Mm-hmm. Or is it really Rika?
This is true. It could be a vision. It could be something else. Absolutely. Yeah. I feel it's one of those. This show is definitely too many pieces up in the air that I'm waiting for them to fall, because I'm like, I don't know. Then we have, they arrive and they kind of have this, they get the fight, they get a chase, and the henchmen ultimately escape. I was like, yeah, this totally took a different shift. We don't have a lot of fighting, like, hands-on, and then, like, get shot. I'm glad Akasaka only just got the shoulder wound.
I was going to say, this felt more of, like, a normal anime in a way.
Yeah.
Like, a normal arc as opposed to the other ones, where the other ones were like, oh, I'm going to, you know... stab, like, cut my neck or something like that.
Yeah, you know, a normal fight. Yeah.
A normal fight, none of this weird, like, gore horror stuff going on.
Yeah.
Until the very end when we see the flashback of Rika, but that's it.
Yeah. So that was kind of like, okay, that's all done. Akasaka's in the hospital. He just has the wound, so he's okay. And the damn project is frozen. And he's like, so it came to, you know, what he thought it would be. And he gets nervous. All the phone cords are cut. if that ain't suspicious, come on. But we learn it's because Rika goes, no, you don't want to call home because you'll just be sad.
I wonder if that would have, if he would have been sad, but I wonder if that would have saved him.
But
anything?
Also, she tried saving him earlier. I think episode 14, she said, go home, return to Tokyo. And he didn't listen because of the case. And
I think
she was trying to warn him, basically, in her mature voice, and he didn't listen because he disregarded it. He didn't. Yeah. He was like, what the heck's going on? What is this 10-year-old telling me what to do? Like, no, I'm here to do my job.
I was going to say, I feel like had she, and we'll get into this a little bit when you bring it up, Carrie, but I feel like had she been a little bit more direct, like we see in the later flashback, maybe he would have taken her warning. But she was kind of talking in circles, like, yeah, you can see how he would dismiss it.
Oh, you mean the ominous person giving you specific advice so you can prevent it from happening? When does that happen? Let's be as vague as possible and let you figure it out. And then ultimately the character never does, so it's like... But agreed. She should have been like, you need to go home. Or she could have been like, go home to your wife. Like,
yeah.
Not even said anything specific. Just go home and be with her. Just go back to Tokyo.
At the very least, that would have sparked, like, I should check in
on like,
my wife.
He's like, oh, yeah. Absolutely. So then we have, that's all ominous and everything. And then she goes, in a few years, I'm going to die. So, okay. Cool. Creepy. And she mentions the Cotton Drifting Festival. This was another moment that makes me think, like, she's definitely connected to the spirits because when she shows them the festival, air quotes, it's just kind of people hanging out drinking. And she's like, she seems disappointed of this is how they're celebrating.
Yeah.
Which, if she was a god or connected to the gods,
she would want a bigger celebration.
Exactly. Like, she feels this is subpar. Mm-hmm. Like, she's disappointed. So a few years pass, and it's just one of those, like, time jump, and we meet up with Oishi and Sapporo, and I was like, oh, cool, he moved away, which we learned he kind of had to. His wife, so we learned Akasaka's wife, she died, she slipped and fell, but luckily the baby didn't die. I was kind of worried with that, like, the way she fell down on her stomach. It's ooh, okay. And it was so romantic of, I look out on the sunset, and that's kind of the way we'd be connected under the same sky. Mm-hmm. Aww. I do think if he had gone home, it would have been a
different story.
Because I think she went up there because he wasn't there, and if he had been, that wouldn't have happened. Though, depending on how much the curse affected them, would this have been a Final Destination thing that she just would have died a different way?
I think, just even from the very beginning, like, he literally said, oh, I might not be here for your delivery. If your wife is that close to giving birth, you don't go.
No. Yeah, if it's like you're at least a couple months out, maybe.
Yeah.
But like this feels like any day now, no. So then we also learn that, and then the wife died on the festival night. So June in 1983, there was a toxic volcanic gas in the swamp. And it's a disaster, which is the end of one of the other arcs. It's like, which feels so random. But I guess not really.
It tried to, like...
How do we kill everybody?
I feel like this arc tried to do something different in the sense of, like, give us before the arc we know, give us some insight to the timeline before the arc that we know, and then some insight into the timeline of after the arc that we know.
Mm-hmm.
So it gave us, you know, the dam project, and then it gave us everything that happened after the toxic gas, which, like, cool, I enjoyed that. It just still felt very distant.
Yeah. It was just kind of like, here's information.
Because we had a connect with Akasaka, who wasn't really, like, an interesting character. I don't know. To me, he wasn't that interesting.
He was pretty surface level.
I was obviously here for Rika and exploring her character
more.
But, yeah, it's kind of hard because this is in the middle of the show, and clearly it is trying to do something with showcasing Rika and whatnot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree that it was kind of hard to... It was hard because we have all these other characters, like, where's Reina? Where's Shion and Mion and Satoko?
I think we saw...
I care about.
Either Shion or Mion at the table, though there was only one child. Because the other person has green hair, but I think that was the parent.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Mion.
It was Mion.
So, we saw them briefly, kind of.
They were there.
So then it's been 5 years now and then also Rika got murdered, was drugged and in a drug coma, and then got murdered. So, disemboweled, yay. But at least they disemboweled her after she was in her drug coma.
The show gets... intense,
yeah. And she predicted all of the deaths with which we learned about.
Question.
Yes.
Did you find this delivery effective? In the sense, like, did you find the delivery as a flashback more effective? Or do you think it would have been more effective had we seen it in that moment where she's talking with him at the shrine? And then it all happened.
Flashback, because he probably dismissed it. And it's one of those, in retrospect, he goes, oh my gosh, she actually did tell me about it. Because ahead of time, he'd be like, okay, yeah, whatever. Ollie, what about you?
I don't know. I don't really have anything to say.
Veronica, do you think it would have been better beforehand?
I think it would have been a little bit more interesting beforehand. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that would have affected his character in coming back. Maybe that would have sparked, like, oh, I really want to know, like, what's going on here now. Because he knew, but I don't know. Us knowing kind of would have maybe seen Akasaka in a different light when he came back.
Could be, yeah. And then we learned that there's pretty much a blockade on Hinamizawa and nobody's gone back since and it's destroyed. So we think.
So would that be the end of the story?
We think, maybe. So we'll hold on to our predictions and we'll get into... Let's get into some news while I grab this.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So Anime Expo was last weekend. I'm pretty sure if you went, you're still recovering as well. Oh, it's a lot.
It was a lot.
It's a lot. Though it was amazing experience. Mm-hmm. I'm going to mention real quick. This was a film that premiered at Anime Expo. It's called Sound Euphonium, the movie, Our Promise, A Brand New Day. So this is based on an anime series. I have not seen the series, but I got to watch the film. I really enjoyed it. I think it's very sweet. So essentially how there's sports anime, this is like music anime. If you like just kind of an orchestra music, it's amazing. Like just listening to the sound is phenomenal, which you would kind of hope on an anime based on a band. And it's not band like a K-pop because it's like full orchestra. It's very kind of slice of life, sweet and cute of these primarily girls. There's some boys in the class too, of them kind of navigating, like being part of the group, auditioning, relationships, senior versus like freshman, like almost idolizing your senior. But, you know, maybe you're putting them too much on a pedestal. And then also some kind of romantic relationships, which is a little more on the subtle side. But I still thought that was very kind of sweet and innocent because they're still kind of... The main girl, she's still kind of trying to figure out how she feels about everything. So if you're interested in this film, Fathom Events is having a in-theater screening of it on the 15th. So in just a couple days, they had a screening as well on the 11th. So check out fathomevents.com for more information on how to see that at a theater near you. Were there any particular highlights for either of you from Anime Expo you want to share?
I mean... On Saturday, I saw two very awesome screenings.
And yes, you did.
They filled me with complete joy. I had the honor of seeing the My Hero Academia Season 4 premiere, which I did a quick kind of non-spoiler review, and that is actually on the animation channel if you want to go check that out. But yeah, so just kind of expanding on it just a little bit, you know, it's, like I said in the quick review, it's going to get intense next season. You know, we've seen My Hero doesn't really shy away from the action. You know, their characters do get injured. We do see blood, but I think this next season is going to get way more dark than we've ever seen this show get, which is kind of exciting, but also like, whoa, My Hero, I never thought you would go there. But it's going to be intriguing for sure. At the end of... Last season, we got introduced, you know, the big three and a couple of new villains and a couple of new heroes. Mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say we're obviously going to expand on their characters more. So that's going to be really great to see. So overall, it was a really great event. And then Saturday night, I saw a special screening for the live action Tokyo Ghoul S. It's the second movie in the franchise.
Very cool.
Also done very well. You know, there's there's so much debate over live action adaptations. And
absolutely.
The Tokyo Ghoul movies have actually done a very good job of developing the story. And, you know, they do have a lot to tackle with all the special effects and the stunts and everything. The stunts were actually very good. And the performances were spot on, I would say, for this sequel. I was very impressed with it.
Very cool. So check that one out. Those both probably...
Both of those.
Well, My Hero will be in October, and Tokyo Ghoul...
Is, I believe, next Friday. Next Friday in Japan.
Okay, nice. There was... Oh, I was like, there's another movie, and I'll tell you a bit later when I get that screener, because I'm like, but it's coming out in August. Ollie, any particular highlights you want to share?
I think just going, like, I went with Jamie, and it was really cool just to see all the fans, because I know growing up I didn't have, like, a whole lot of, like, friends, but what anime does is you make friends through conventions, and mm-hmm. you make friends online even mm-hmm. though that's not creepy. It's actually a real thing, and you meet up with these people. You go to, like, the cosplay meetups, mm-hmm. and you see those levels of intersectionality, like people of color cosplaying. You see people, queer people cosplaying, and I just love that it's really promoting togetherness and all of these diverse people who you look at this group of diverse people and they all love the same thing, which is anime. And so it was really cool. I was when a Spider-Man. I know that's not anime, but
it was a cool Spidey suit, though.
Thank you. Yes. And then Jamie was Bulma. She looked amazing. And
you've also looked great.
Thank you. And it was just really, it was a great experience. Yeah.
Yeah. We have some videos already on the AfterBuzz animation channel, which you're on right now. So make sure you click that thumbs up, click the subscribe button, and we'll be adding more videos to that as well. We also talked with, as you mentioned, that we talked with a couple voice actors from My Hero Academia. We talked with some people from Sword Art Online and a few different booths as well and businesses. So we'll be putting those online.
We actually did a couple of things with Crunchyroll that weekend, yes. too. Our friends over at Crunchyroll just kind of wanted to give us, you know, a great recap of how their weekend went. So, you know, obviously Crunchyroll, they're huge when it comes mm-hmm. to Anime Expo. They actually had record-breaking sales at their store, which I was telling Ollie earlier. They always have such good, like, Anime Expo exclusives. I unfortunately didn't get anything this year, but last year they had a really cool All Might shirt that was, like, you know, buff All Might and then kind of, like, the sad week-looking All Might mm-hmm. right next to each other, and it looked awesome. I've worn it on the show before, but, you know, they have such great exclusives, so I can see how they would sell out. Like, some of their stuff sold out on the second day, which I understand, because wow. people want that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, great job on that. They also had an offsite carry that you attended, yes. or we both did, just not at the same time.
Yeah, I'm actually really glad you mentioned that. Crunchyroll HQ will be at Comic-Con, so if you didn't get to go to Anime Expo and you're going to Comic-Con, Crunchyroll HQ will be there. We posted a link on our Twitter, ABTV Anime. You can see article there listing the activities they're going to have. They're going to have their booth. They're going to have their panel and Crunchyroll HQ. And there's some video on there of the experiences, some of them that will be there, especially the Banana Pit. Did you get to check out the Banana
that
Pit?
That was the most relaxed I think I saw all 4 days at Anime Expo. I was just laying in that pit of plushies. It was wonderful.
If you have no idea what Banana is, it's a cat and a banana.
It's
a
really
banana.
Cute.
And it's a giant pit of over mm-hmm. 800 little plushies, and you mm-hmm. can jump or lay down in it, whatever you want. Yes.
Yeah, no, and then obviously they had so many panels throughout the weekend. They have 8 panels, you know, from premieres, mm-hmm. the big premiere of Dr. Stone, which I, yes. you know, anime fans on social media were really excited about that.
Their booth people, they had some people there that were like frozen, which is really cool.
And then they also had an app where attendees could collect and trade stickers, mm-hmm. which I didn't know was a thing, but that's really cool, you know, that mm-hmm. they're trying to, you know, have people be more interactive with yeah. Crunchyroll and everything. I think that's awesome. And then, of course, you know, at the Crunchyroll experience that you were talking about, Crunchyroll HQ, they have photo opportunities. Mm-hmm. They also have games that you can play.
Yes.
And Ollie and Jamie yes. actually oh, yeah. got to demo one of their games. Want to yeah. talk about that?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I just thought of the photo ops that we did, you and me and Jamie.
Yeah. You guys got Sailor Moon action going on.
Ridiculous. No, but Jamie and I got to demo the new Attack on Titan, the Tactics game, which is finally going to be released in the U.S. later this year, because it's like been downloaded so many times. Super popular in Japan. But it was really fun because the app right now covers kind of like the first season. Mm, and mm-hmm. you build your team. You know, you can get Eren, you can be Mikasa, and there's like different versions of the characters too.
Oh, cool.
And you actually see like the Titans come down and try to break the walls. And it was really fun. Jamie and I like were like just trying to use our fingers to defeat the Titans. And we did. But then we died. Annie got eaten.
Did you get eaten?
Annie got eaten.
Aww.
But yeah, it was really cool. Shout out to the game, because it was really cool.
Very cool. Yeah. So we'll be continuing to post more photos and video on our Twitter at the ABTV Anime, as well as the AfterBuzz Animation channel. So make sure you click, subscribe, follow, and all of those. And if you're listening, make sure to let us know what you thought of the episode and everything we covered. 5 stars, because you know 1 through 4 don't work, or you'll just get eaten by a Titan. All
I was going to say, what was your favorite?
My favorite, what did we check out? It was a lot of walking. You know, a new thing I got to see this year, which I'll have a video on this, is After Hours. It was a show. So it was like burlesque and comedy, which is always kind of fun because they've done that before at Anime Expo, which is so nice because Anime Expo isn't just like you're just watching anime. There's like, live shows, there's game demos, there's a little bit of everything. And so that's fun to be able to check out that show this year. Also, the Funimation offsite had a nice, really fun event, as well as Sonic Boombox. So it was nice to come to the After Hours because, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of the anime crowd, yes, are under 21, but some of us are over. And so it's nice to enjoy, like, more adult activities as well. And then the daytime, it was fun to chill and sit watching the panels. We saw a little bit of the Good Smile panel, which was fun to see the Nendoroids, and people get very excited because they were giving some away.
They have a lot of knowledge about those Nendoroids.
Yeah, they do. And Ollie got to interview one of the representatives from Good Smile as well, which we'll have that video for you shortly. And there's just definitely a lot, and then excited for some of which will be at Comic-Con. So Ollie and I will be going down there next week. So Veronica and Jamie will handle the fort, and as it were.
There's a special guest next week. So
I'm jealous.
So look out for our show as well as y'all's coverage.
Absolutely. I know. I'm super jealous that it lined up that way. We're like, all right, so let's get into our special segment and then do some rapid-fire predictions. So our special segment is our word of the day. So something came up a lot on this episode.
Nipah.
Is
sorry. Was it?
I felt that one is just a sound. Her, I felt it was a sound. Daijoubu. So it's like, are you okay? Which they asked. They said that a lot. So Daijoubu is Romaji. It's Daijoubu. So Daijoubu. So the expression would be like Daijoubu desu ka? Like, are you okay? Because I feel they've said that a lot in this one.
No one's okay in this show.
No, never. So Daijoubu.
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 Yay! Thank you. Hey. There's our ding. All right, so let's get in some rapid fire predictions. It's probably just me.
Your After Buzz TV something. Predictions.
You guys, nope. I think this next arc is going to be a big one, as we've discussed. So I think hopefully a lot more information will be added to this puzzle, because I feel we have a lot of the pieces laid out. They're just not connecting enough yet. I don't really feel everybody's really gone after this gas explosion or contamination, as it were. And I think Rika is a lot more to her than we know. And I think that's the same for most everybody in the town, that there's a lot more to them than we have been let on.
What I will say is that the next arc, I know that, you know, some people, and I know you, Carrie, and Jamie were kind of had questions about the whole Mio and Shion arc that was a couple, like maybe two episodes ago.
Yeah.
This next arc is going to clear up a lot of the questions that arc presented.
Cool. I feel the show is doing that. They're like, here's a little bit of information. You're confused. It's okay. We'll explain it later, which most anime does. Mm-hmm. So, cool. All right. Any other final thoughts before we wrap it up?
Someone's going to die.
I believe that, too. I feel somebody's going to die. That's a good prediction on this show, for sure.
Things are going to get creepier.
Yes. Ooh, good. I like it when it's creepy on the show. All right. Thank you so much for watching, listening. Ollie, where can people find you online?
Yes, guys. You can find me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer.
Hey everyone, Veronica Valencia here. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @itsmeveronica_b.
And my name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And make sure to follow us on ABTV Anime. We were posting more of the videos on there. And also make sure you subscribe to the AfterBuzz Animation channel. There's a playlist for Anime Expo 2019, and we'll continue to add more videos to that. Thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next week. Sayonara!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.